Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, all flight controllers, I'm going around the horn. Make your gun or goes based on the data you had printed LOS. I see we got it back. Give me another few seconds.
We're going, fine.
Okay, retro, go.
Fido,
go.
Guide,
go.
Control,
go.
Telcom,
go.
Ginsey,
go.
Econ,
go.
Surgeon,
go.
Capcom, we're go to continue PDI.
Coming to you live from the Haunted Studios in Shingle Springs, California, this is Ghost Rider Paranormal Radio with your host, John Almada.
And it was a nice, cool day here in the Sierras, and I just stepped outside of Studio A and was wearing a pair of those medical clogs. I have a thing. I order, actually at night, it's kind of cool, I order the those outfits that medical personnel wear. They're great pajamas, those things. But I also got the clogs, and I took a step outside, and I had a piece of wire go right through into my foot. And I surprised myself. I didn't cuss. I was looking at it going, well, this sucks. And so I was bandaging myself up 15 minutes pre-show, pouring alcohol on and wincing a little bit, and I've got antibiotics on me, so doing good here. But hey, we've got a pretty good crew in here. After Dark Radio, Anthea's with us. We have CA Living, Gerber Daisy TM, hello, and we have a couple of guests out there, 5725 and 5793, good to see you. Hopeast 66 is with us, Karen's Dream, Karen with GRI Arizona down in Phoenix is here. We have Ms. Ghosts with Michigan, Michigan Paranormal Team up there, and she runs an effective EVP group there. Let's see, who else? We have Old Crow, a good friend. We've done some readings with Old Crow and enjoyed that much. Scott Wise, hit, our beer meister and amazing entrepreneurial ghost hunter, and just a great guy all around is there. And we have Vico Dan. Dan is always there first. And he and I were chatting about the injury to my foot. And, yeah, it's feeling better now. I feel no pain now, but, boy, I was bleeding like crazy. Just the whole bottom of my clog is now full of blood. I'm going to have to wash that out. But, oh, man, not good, not good. But, anyway, tonight we are going to have, and I have not heard back from her. I did pop a message to her, is psychic medium Valerie. If she does not dial in at the right time here, I will just do a medium show of my own. So I'm hoping that she does listen in and dial in. She's perfectly free to call in anytime. I will read a little bit about her bio and pop some things in. I don't see Kathy in. I'm wondering how she's doing. Usually she pops in on us and so and takes on the co-broadcaster, the co-host, all those kinds of neat duties. But tonight it's going to be me flying the ship alone here, unless Karen wants to hop in and take a shot at it doing that. So I'm going to leave that up to her. But anyway, yeah, I also spent some time on the USS Hornet this weekend and drove out there Friday Great time on the ship. Had a great experience. We were in sick bay early in the investigation, and to my left, we had about five people in one of the operating rooms. And to my left was the entrance, and then a wall that ran out into the corridor. And what ended up happening was there was a very distinct, sharp tapping, and we have this recorded. So I'm going to be getting that evidence analyzed and grab some of the good stuff and have that for Thursday for playback for all of you. We did have K2 activity on the flight deck, and yours truly was co-opted by Heidi, one of the lead docents there. We decided to scare the hell out of another group, and I was standing there in the pilot's briefing room up on the forward part of the ship, and we were up there, and I decided to go up to the door. I snuck up, and we heard people coming in near the admiral's quarters. And I started making these low growling noises, and I slammed the door a few times. And I didn't realize. I thought what would happen was that Chris, Heidi's sister, would just come down on us and go, "What are you guys doing?" They all ended up running for their lives down for the flight deck. And Chris said, "There's no amount of money that would make me go. I want to go up there and face that, because I sounded really good when I did that. I was making some pretty interesting growling noises." So let's see. Oh, we do have a caller in there, and I'll bet you I know who that could be. So anyway, that was a really interesting time, though, aboard Hornet. Not as much activity as we were used to having, but not surprising. It was past full moon. Had a lot of just very esoteric or small experiences, except for the, just little things like being touched. You would have those occasional things. What else happened was, I was staying in the torpedo room along with another gentleman named Jeff, and they had everybody broken up by single men, single women in another area, and then married couples and families together in another area. And so it was just two of us over by, we were closest to sick bay, and I was in the torpedo room. And just as we shut down for the night, 3 o'clock in the morning, Saturday morning, we turned off the recorders. And as soon as we did that, something goes over in the room with us, starts grabbing the door and shaking the door. And we saw lights inside the room. And there was no, we went and tried to debunk it, could not find anyone around. There was no one nearby that would have done that. And we actually heard the door rattle, and we duplicated that noise. So we were told in no uncertain terms that they were well aware of us. And but a great time was had by all. Spent some time on the flight deck. Finally got the experience of my life to stand in front of, I wanted to be an F-14 Tomcat pilot when I was a much younger person than I am now. And couldn't get in because of my heart and a small problem in my eye. And they wouldn't let me anywhere near, although I wanted to get up there and do stuff. But I finally got my chance, though. I got to actually walk up on the flight deck of an aircraft carrier up to a F-14A model. And so I've got a video of that with me, and I'll be posting that on the GRI channel. And so a good time was had by all. But, hey, let's see where we're at right now. We've got anybody else come in? I think pretty much everybody's with us. Let's see. Dominica's here. She popped in. Hi, Dom. And let's see. Nilla Wafers wants some. Nilla Wafers. That's it. We're going to talk about Nilla Wafers. By the way, I'm down 20 pounds on Atkins diet. I am doing just fine with that. Spencer Hughes, our other team member, over in the valley here with us, and he's the host of Fox Across America. He's following me in the same vein, so we are going to be two studly guys here in about 3 months. We're going to be looking really good, so there's definitely going to be some promo shots with us in our suits looking, out with our instrumentation just saying, yeah, we're bad. So, and we'll get over that attitude real quick. We'll get back to being real here. Anyway, I think we have our guest here waiting for us, so I'm going to go ahead and introduce her and hope that is her. We have psychic medium Valerie Renee. She's a clairvoyant, clairaudient, clairsentient, psychic medium, empath, spiritual healer. Wow, I'd like to do that. A paranormal investigator located in Jacksonville, Florida. Valerie's abilities did not start off as something that she considered a gift. As a child in a family that did not encourage psychic growth and development, her abilities got her into much trouble. Where have we heard this before? And she did everything she could to ignore them, and eventually she accepted that she was different, but thought it was something she should keep a secret because normal people were not like her. Boy, this does sound like a familiar story. A time of spiritual awakening came in Valerie's life, and when it did, she knew she had to use her abilities to help others, and that God had given her a mission to do so. And she's helped people all over the world connect with deceased loved ones on the other side and has helped a lot of people through life's troubling issues. And she's worked in the paranormal with many teams through the Georgia and Florida area as a medium and capturing amazing pictures and EVPs, electronic voice phenomena, which we do a lot of here on our little show. And she has also worked with law enforcement. And that's something I have yet to do in my practice of what I do. But I'll tell you what, we'll definitely ask her about some of that. She gives all the credit for the work she does to God. You know, smart lady, feeling that God has simply put her here as a spiritual counselor and a translator for the other side, and she's a simple instrument in God's hands. And it's good to hear somebody talking about God in all of this, because mediumship is a direct channel, you know, to heaven and to things that God intended these things to be there. So we are looking forward to talking with her. Let me see if this is her. Oh, and I just lost my board here. So while you guys are doing that, and Scott is saying, while I'm reloading my page so I can get Valerie on here, Scott is saying, any EVPs you got should play on air on one of our shows. Yeah, we'll if you want, I'll send some to you, and I may dial in. Okay, 207, I'm going to go ahead and take you and see if that is Valerie, because I had a 9-something caller. And I just lost the chat room, too. Blog Talk has been acting up for a lot of people, so I'm going to try this again. And 207, you're on the air.
Hello. No, this is Maine, and my name is Betty Jo. It's not Valerie.
Okay. I am hoping that Valerie does show up. But Betty Jo, what can we do for you?
Well, I was listening in on your show, and I was just intrigued the fact that you do have a psychic as a guest, and I was just listening to see what was going on, and maybe even if you guys were offering readings or anything like that.
I am hoping that she does dial in because she was very aware of our show tonight. I saw it on her Twitter page, and so I'm going to be checking mail. There she is, 904. So I tell you what, I'm going to go ahead and put you as the first one because I do believe we're going to do readings tonight. And why don't we just put you on hold just briefly, and I'll go ahead and bring her on and see what we got there. Okay.
Okay. Thank you.
Oh. All right, just hang tight. We'll get you. Okay, and interesting start to the show. It's been one of those Mercury retrograde days, you know, especially stepping on a wire and ramming things into your foot pre-show. Oh, geez. Anyway, here we go. 904. Oh, it just refreshed on me too. 904. You're on the air. Is this? I hope it's you.
Yeah, it's me. How you doing tonight?
It's been one of those interesting nights. I stepped outside my I have two studios, and I stepped outside Studio A and rammed a piece of wire through my foot. So I have bandages on my foot, and it's been strange. But we are pressing forward. So it's nice to meet you.
Oh, nice to meet you, too.
Yeah, and I saw you on, and you must have dropped off or briefly, because I saw you. I saw the 904, and I went, that seems like the right one. And then you were gone. I was going, oh, no, did something happen?
Yeah, I've been having a lot of phone and internet problems, so sorry about that.
Oh, no problem. You know, it's definitely Mercury retrograde at work in a major way. There's been lots of telecom issues going on, and people are a little bit off right now, so... And the equipment is acting up. So, you know, the guy that's going to interview you steps on big wires and puts them through his feet. I was trying to sell myself up a new way. Yeah,
it's been kind of ridiculous. The phone, the internet, they just keep blipping out. Like last weekend, didn't have it for the entire weekend. It was pretty bad. So.
Oh no! Yeah, it's I just got called pre-show. I work in the defense industry, and one of my servers was acting up, and so just as I got bandaged up, work called, and I was going, okay, you got to send a team in to deal with this. I'm still bandaging myself, trying to take care of everything. But hey, we did read I did an intro for you, talked about what you do, and it's good to have you aboard here. And just I couldn't help but notice similarities in the background with what you went through and some things I went through, except the one difference is my family encouraged it. And I was just, but I do hear this an awful lot with mediums who come on, who talk about, it's kind of the family secret thing. And you mentioned a section there where there was like a spiritual awakening, and that caught my eye. So could you go into a little bit about that?
About my spiritual awakening?
Yeah, what happened to change that? And, where you suddenly popped in and went, hey, this could be something here.
Well, it was my whole life I have been mediumistic. But I kind of went through situations. I had a mom who, when I would tell her, well, there's this man here, don't you see him? And she'd tell me, no, you're daydreaming. And so, I had to kind of deal with that. And it doesn't exactly, when you're a kid and you have your parents telling you you're daydreaming and you're wide awake, you can't understand that, So I'm like, but I'm awake. What does that mean? I don't understand. And she didn't understand, and she said that, that's what they would do to her when she was a kid. If she said something that didn't make sense to them, they would just, oh, whatever, kid, you're daydreaming. And I'm like, well, it blew my mind. I didn't understand what that was. And then there were these voices. Usually they'd come together, a male and a female, that I would hear. And when I would hear them, I assumed it was my parents because they seemed to be telling me what to do an awful lot. So
wow.
I went under the assumption that, these were probably, my parents, even though I couldn't see them. And that got me into a lot of trouble. I actually got quite a few spankings from my father for knowing things that he didn't feel I should have known. And I'd say, but you guys told me. No, I swear, you told me this. And my father would think I was eavesdropping. So, yeah, my abilities didn't exactly do me a lot of good. And my confusion about what they were didn't do me a whole lot of good either. But what ended up happening, let's see. I guess you could say I was, through my life there were different things that happened. Birth of my first child, heightened psychic abilities. There was a time in my teen years, even as a matter of fact, where I got more into prayer, and that heightened my psychic abilities. Pregnancy seemed to heighten psychic ability. But every time this would happen, I just would try to, ignore as best I can. I even honestly thought, well, maybe I'm crazy because everybody else said this stuff didn't happen. This stuff doesn't happen. Your prayers don't get answered for real. You only get answers to prayers by what happens in your life. I mean, these were the things I was taught. So, I'm thinking something's really wrong with me. I just need to hide this from the world. And I guess there was some time in my 20s where I came to a point of realizing I had guides, and that's what all this was. I guess I watched Sylvia Brown on TV, and while I wouldn't say that I'm a firm supporter of Sylvia Brown or her beliefs, I would say that listening to her on Montel discussing how you would contact your spirit guides, something just came over me, and I'm like, I can do that. And I went, and I sat, and I got quiet, which was what she had said to do, and I did. Well, the thing is, once I, quote-unquote, contacted my spirit guides and realized, this is real, I actually had a few other spirits come in, one of someone who I thought was still alive at that point. Got a call from my mom, I believe the same day, to let me know that he wasn't. It was another family member, and I already knew, how, because he was one of the spirits that came through when I asked for my guides. He did let me know he wasn't a guide, but he still came through.
Yeah.
It was a confirmation for me, that, okay, what I experienced that day, I can't deny it. So I was like, okay, well, I decided at that point, I'll listen to these guides if they want to talk to me, but it's just for me. This is my secret. And, with this being my secret. I was like, well, you know, I can take this and nobody has to know. I can use it to my advantage. When they want to tell me things, they'll tell me, and I'll know, and that'll prepare me. Because I'm a natural pessimist, I think. I'm a Capricorn. Capricorns are natural pessimists. So with me being a natural pessimist, I like to look at things and think the worst is going to happen so that when the best happens, I can be happy and celebrate. But when the worst happens, I can go, eh, no big deal, doesn't matter. And that's kind of how the pessimist looks at it, whereas the optimist looks at things in the brightest view, and when they go wrong, then they're disappointed. So for me, I'm like, okay, well, if I look at things from the other view, I can be happy. But with this, I then was like, okay, well, I'm listening to what they say, so I can just go with it. But I still kind of put on my act like, okay, well, things might not go well. But I knew they would now, because if they were going to go well, I would know it. If they were going to go wrong, I would know it. But it was my secret. I wasn't telling anybody. Then my late 20s, about 28 years old, I had gotten a message a few months before it happened telling me that I would be going through something so drastic that I would even consider killing myself during this. But that is not what I did. I didn't go into killing myself. They did tell me I would feel that way, and I did, but they told me I would come out of it and I would understand everything, who I was and what I was supposed to do. Well, sure enough, the month they told me came along, I had spirits bombard me. I had good ones. I had bad ones. I had all sorts of them. And it was crazy having all of these spirits to deal with, because some of them were good, some of them were bad. I couldn't keep it straight. And the fact that I could not keep it straight was really difficult for me. I'm sorry, I got to say this. I've got somebody sending me messages, and I really can't do it right now, so if you would please just let me, I am on a show right now. I hope this person can hear me and understand that, because it's really, it's a stress.
Oh, you got an entity coming through?
No, I'm talking about somebody's sending me messages.
Oh, you're on in the chat now.
In the chat, yeah, I guess it's
okay.
In the chat, yeah.
Yeah.
So anyway, as I was saying, I'm having huge issues, you know, with all of these spirits, and they're bombarding me, and they won't leave me alone. Crazy things are happening all around. It's affecting my children as well, because all of my children are psychic as well. Driving me insane, and I can't seem to figure out why these bad spirits are messing with me. It's 24/7. I'm not getting any sleep. I go through a process, though, and it's kind of a long story, but to make it as short as I can, through that week, 2 weeks, it was 2 weeks, but through my what I have always called 2 weeks of hell, I did figure out the spirits were coming around to show me things about myself. They showed me things that were bad that I didn't like. They showed me things that were good. They made me see myself as others see me. They made me see myself in multiple different lights. But As they made me see myself in these different lights, I was very, you know, it was very confusing. But the situation with this happening, once I saw myself in all these different lights and how others saw me, how I saw myself, I realized I didn't have a whole lot of self-love. The reason some of these spirits were able to keep messing with me and coming through was because of that. I didn't have enough confidence to be protected, to feel that God would protect me and so on. Once I realized that and I realized who I really was and how I really was, just like everyone else, I felt a oneness toward others. But I also realized that, you know, I was okay. I'm just as worthy as anyone else to be protected. Well, that seemed to help some, but I still, there was one more push. I had to accept fully who I was, which meant also embracing this ability that I had been fighting.
Oh,
so
boy.
by having to embrace this ability, by going through this, that was what I could do. I had to say, okay, you know what, God, do with me what you want. You've been trying to tell me my whole life. I've been trying to ignore it. Do with me what you want. So in essence, that was my spiritual awakening, coming to that point of really just realizing myself, realizing everybody else, realizing the oneness between all of us, and basically that I have to do what I was brought here to do.
It's the part that strikes me with you is I've never heard this before with a medium who was going through their discovery process, and it's really a pretty common general theme that we all go through when we go through this. But yours had this whole theme of the self-worth to be looking at mixed in, and the fact that you got through this, and I don't think you did this on your own, but you did a lot of it, the hard work by yourself, and you're to be commended for that. I mean, that just sounds to me like you really came here to really face this, and get through this. And you kind of are the captain of your own ship in a lot of ways, and you're doing a hell of a job from what I can tell just listening to you. So, I mean, the children, now that strikes me, the children being a medium yourself and dealing with all this other stuff is interesting enough, and now you've got a bunch of psychic kids. How is that going?
It's a struggle for a couple of reasons. For my daughter, she's 16, and she showed a lot of signs of mediumship, especially when she was younger. My grandmother, for example, had died at one point, and she was 3, I believe, at the time. And when my grandmother passed away, she came out, she saw me that next morning crying, and she says to me, "Mom, what's wrong with you? Why are you so upset?" And I said, "Sweetie, my grandmother died last night." And she says to me, "You mean the lady we just went and visited last week in Massachusetts?" And I told her, I said, "Well," I said, "yeah." And she says, "Mom, she did not die." And I told her she did. And she's like, "No." And she said, "Crystal, she died last night in her sleep." And she says to me, "Mom, she is not dead." And I'm like, "What do you mean?" She's like, "Mom, I know she's not." And she was very, very firm in how she was saying this to me and insistent.
Yeah.
And I'm like, "Well, what do you mean she's not?" And she says to me, "I know she's not dead because she was with me in my room all night last night." Whoa. I mean, I knew this kid was not making this up. This was what really happened.
Yeah.
And so I was like, "Oh, wow. Holy cow. Okay." So when she told me that, I was like, "Well, okay, I believe you, but that was her spirit, and I had to try to explain to her that didn't mean that her body hadn't died." Very confusing for her, because as far as my daughter was concerned, there was a solid person in her room. And I knew how that was, because as a child, they were that vivid to me as well. Very rare now in my adult life that I see them so vividly, they look solid as we do.
Yeah.
But that's what she was seeing. So as far as she was concerned, my grandmother was in the room with her, period. She has shown different signs like that, different times. There were times even that I would see a spirit of a dog that passed, for example, and she came in the room and pointed and said, "Oh, yeah, it's right here." She knew exactly where the dog was. She saw it right when I did. Nobody else there could see it, but she could, and I could. So I was like, "Wow, okay." Now, my sons are a little bit younger. It took me several years to be able to have another child. I had several miscarriages. And then my sons both ended up being autistic. my middle child is actually nonverbal. So this is where it becomes more of a challenge. With my daughter, she knows she's got it. She's gotten older. She's developed into a very strong empath. She's had some struggles with that. She also, she's got this thing where she feels when someone has obsession. So my daughter's getting to be more the paranormal type psychic because she has already been through her awakening at 16 years old. She had it happen this year, and they showed her enough that she came to the conclusion she's supposed to help remove these negative spirits that attach to people. So it's not quite the same mission as me. It kind of scares me, to be totally honest. But, yeah, to have your 16-year-old child saying this stuff to you is pretty scary. But then from there, I have my daughter telling me that, you know, she, you know, well, you know, I don't know, and she tells me she has dreams about it, and they're teaching her things. And I know how that goes because they did that with me as well. Anyway, then there's also the aspect beyond that with my sons, with the autism. My nonverbal has never been able to tell me anything. He is nonverbal. He's 11 years old now. But when he was younger, I would see these balls of flashing light, maybe jumping around, and I have no clue what I'm seeing here to this day. But this child must have been seeing more than me because whatever it was, to him it was the funniest thing in the world. And he would watch them jump around and go everywhere, and he would just laugh. Now, this is one of the things with autism that a lot of people have also said that their children laugh at things that aren't there. You know, they're in their own world. They're laughing for no apparent reason and so on. But for me, being a psychic, I know something was there, and that's why. Which leads me to think they are literally between two worlds more than the rest of us.
I would agree with you on that. Absolutely. Yes. Because, you know, I'm a recovered aphasic, which is not too far removed from autism. And my very first paranormal experience at 5 years old that I remember was of what you described, these flashing lights. I call them the sparkles. And I would see these things in the town of Roseville out in Northern California. And they played with me. And eventually that all fell away over the years. But I was going through intense rehabilitation, work on my brain because I had what's called acquired aphasia. So I had a chance of recovering from it. And my grandfather was a neurosurgeon. And I went through these 9 years of just intense language skills and language development and neurological work and, snapped out of it. But, I'm really glad to hear that because it is something with both types of conditions. So, he was seeing it. I absolutely agree because I've been there. I have seen what you're talking about.
Right. And it's interesting, you know, and I absolutely believe that he is definitely mediumistic too because he's had those experiences.
Oh, yeah.
I could see something, even though I don't really know what it was, and this happened on a regular basis, especially when he was younger. Now, my youngest, he's actually very mediumistic, and he didn't show signs for a lot of years. It's been actually in the last couple years that he's finally started to show some. He's 9 years old now. When he was about seven, eight months old, he started having epileptic seizures on a regular basis. And once he started having those epileptic seizures, he would lose all capacity. He couldn't do things physically. It was like you'd have a limp newborn baby. And here he was 3 years old. This was still happening. Every time he'd start to develop physically and be able to get up, move around, walk, do all these things, he would lose it again, and he'd be the newborn, basically. So during this time, it was like whenever he would get out of seizure mode, he seemed to do it, you know, there was a season each year that would be nothing but seizures and in and out of the hospital. But when he would get out of seizure mode, you know, he would have that year to start redeveloping, and he'd basically just get to the point where he's up, you know, doing things and walking around and being able to move again. And it's like he never really got to a point where he focused on his speech. This child had a very strong will to move around and wanted to do the physical things, and so he was always striving to get back there and then losing it. So we finally, you know, when he was about 3 to 4 years old, found a medication that would work for him. And he was put on this medication, Keppra. None of the others had ever worked, but this one did. And when they put him on Keppra, the seizures finally, he didn't have them anymore. It stopped him, and he was good to go.
That is exactly the medication my father, who's had a stroke, is on. We went through hell. Everything you just said is an exact duplicate of what happened with my father, including the time where he would have the seizure and we'd be back to having to teach him to walk again. And this has happened in the last 3 years, a condensed version of what you went through. But Keppra is a miracle drug. I've got nothing but good things to say. It's made our life as near normal as you can make it. It's interesting to hear somebody else who's been through a similar experience. Wow.
It's absolutely awful when you're dealing with something like that. Terrible.
Oh yeah.
But anyway, as this was happening, he finally, once he got on the medicine, he started to do better. You know, of course, was able to regain his capacities as long as he stayed on the medicine, no problem. And eventually got to a point where he went not just from developing physically, but being able to talk as well. And so it's a very slow process. He's way, way behind for his age. He seems to be developing. To me, it seems like he's about at the age he would be if he started at, you know, about age 3-4 when the seizure stopped. So he's really not quite where he should be. And he's also been diagnosed with autism as well. He's a little higher functioning, well, a lot higher functioning compared to his brother. But he as well now has the autism label on him. But when he was about, I think it was about 7-8 years old, about 7 probably, he started to have this stuff happen where he would talk about somebody, and he was having conversations with someone I couldn't see. Now, there were a couple times that my guides would come through to me and tell me, you got someone there with you. We had been living in this place, and there was a building across the street that at some point had been on fire. When they knocked that building down, all of a sudden, we had a visitor with us. And So I think this is one of those cases where a spirit that was maybe, quote-unquote, haunting somewhere else just moved on over when that place got knocked down. So, you know, when this place across the street went down is about when this started happening. And I had gotten a few times, you got a visitor with you, and I was like, I don't care. It's my house. I don't want to know about it. So I tried to, you know, I go on these paranormal investigations. I tell people exactly what they have going on in them. And, you know, I collect EVPs that back what I'm saying. And yet, in my own house, I don't want to know. There was one time I actually set the recorder up before going to bed, and boy, it was nothing but some girl laughing her head off. And, you know, she apparently, there were zipper noises and stuff. She opened one of my bags and put them in the middle of the floor, flipped the rug over, put it on top of it that night, set a bunch of stuff and made a bunch of noise on the recorder. And I'm like, wow, she did this to really prove to me she's here, apparently. And that was the only time she did it, was the night I put that recorder out and said, okay, if you're here, I'm going to bed, but you can have fun, talk to this recorder, but leave me alone, because somebody had been bugging me when I was trying to sleep. So I was like, oh, what the heck? Well, so there was definitely a female around, and I knew that at that point. I had pretty good proof. I knew nobody else had been down. I questioned, you know, my daughter. I knew my sons hadn't, because I would actually put a gate up before the stairs to make sure they didn't, because I was afraid of one of them. I have an autistic runner who will leave the house and run if he can. So I had to put some barricades up. So I knew it wasn't my sons. And my daughter was like, why would I do something like that? Are you insane? So, you know, that only leaves one other explanation, a paranormal one.
That's right.
But anyway, but my son, I finally did get something from that. I got from my son, you know, actually my guides told me, her name is Christine, and your son already knows this. And I'm like, huh? Well, my son was in the dining room, and it was always when he was in the dining room. I wouldn't see him interacting like this very many other places. Now, I will say that the dining room was probably closest to this house across the street where the layout is, where it's at. So maybe that's part of why, I don't know. But he would always be conversing with someone no one else could see in the dining room. And we were thinking, okay, what's up with this crazy kid? And, you know, but I did know. And then one day he's in here going, you know, Chris, don't leave. Chris, stay here. And so I walk in the room and I'm like, who are you talking to? And he says, Chris. And I said, who are you talking about? Uncle Chris? You know, my brother's name is Chris. And he says, no, right there, Chris. And I'm like, Christine, and he, yes, Chris, and I'm like, whoa, okay.
Oh, my God.
So, yeah, that was a little freaky for me, and it was a big confirmation, but I got an even bigger one. There was another day where he was in the dining room, and he was eating, and he decided he was going to stand up on his chair, and the chair's wobbling, and I come walking in, and I tell him, sit down, and he's still standing, and I'm like, sit down before you fall, and so I got up close to him where he's at on this chair, and I'm looking at him, telling him, sit down, and he starts looking past me, and then I hear this female voice go, no. And as soon as that happened, he's looking past me. He's smiling. And then he looks up at me and does the same thing I just heard this little female voice do. He's like, no. And I'm like, I turned around going, Crystal, yelling at my daughter, thinking it was her. Nobody's there.
Whoa.
So I go grab my camera at this point. It's just, that's the first thing that came to mind. Grab the camera.
Yeah.
Get a shot. And I went in there, you know, paranormal investigator, so even though I say I don't want to do it in my own house, here I go. And I went running back in the room, and about where I heard the voice is where I tried to aim this camera and get a shot as fast as I could. Well, I got this thing, and it was like this white glowing half a figure. And unfortunately, it had moved from where I saw it, and so it was like there was the doorway of the kitchen as I'm trying to look into the dining room with the camera, and I got it with about half of it past the wall in that doorway, so I only got about half of this white figure, but I did get a white figure.
Wow. Now,
mind you, I could hear her, but I couldn't see her.
You've got a complicated situation. I mean, this... I mean, I've had my own troubles here. You know, I mean, I'm on a haunted gold mining town. You know, and we're right on top of, you know, where all this was, and we have our own spirits. And I feel the same way you do. I mean, I'll go into some of the most haunted places in the world, no trouble. But you stay out of my house, you know. And I ended up having to do an awful lot of cleansing, you know, constant cleansing and keeping the place basically just at least twice a month I do work on it to make sure there's nobody coming through that shouldn't be there. Because we had, you know, had the same thing. I mean, I actually woke up one night with something grabbing my feet. And, you know, and it was just, it really pissed me off. And I got, you know, I got the problem taken care of. I went and talked with some other friends who've been through stuff like this and got it dealt with. And, you know, I use sea salt and, you know, sage and then other special stones and different things at work. But how have you dealt with it? I mean, are you still having these issues or are you doing techniques to try to get, you know, get these entities out or?
Out from where do you mean? From where
you
I'm
mean
living?
to keep them from you know, like this Chris coming in. I mean, it sounds to me like this Chris is kind of egging things on with your son.
Oh yeah. Well, yeah. She
seemed
to me the behaviors seem like troublemaker type behaviors, but I think we're talking about, you know, my daughter does do some teenage little antics like that sometimes, or she did a few years back. We're talking preteen to teen is what I was figuring I was probably dealing with here because of the way the antics were. But what people don't understand a lot of times, you know, that as in life, so in death thing is the truth. So if they die and they're at that immature age and they haven't moved on, you know, and they're into, you know, being little pranksters and playing around and, you know, others into trouble, big sister type who gets her little brother into trouble is going to still be the big sister type that would get her brother into trouble. And honestly, that's almost what it seemed like I was dealing with.
And is she a continuing presence? I mean, is this continuing to occur? I mean, it sounds like you befriended this Christine.
Yeah, they seem to be. I mean, she was going one day. He's like yelling, "Please don't go!" And he's saying, "She left me. She went up. You know, she went upstairs. And now she's gone." And I'm like, okay. So yeah, he definitely seemed to like her. So I don't think she was mean to him. She might have been like, you know how a lot of the kids, they say they have imaginary friends, but we wonder if they really are imaginary. Yeah, it kind of seemed like that.
Have you set any boundary conditions? I mean, in our case, we had spirits that were actually appearing so close to my father at times. My mother and I both see. And we got to the point where we were worried they were gonna appear in front of him, and if he saw any of this, it would set him off because he's in such a bad condition. And so my mother went out one day and had a pretty firm talking to with the entities that were around the main ranch house here, and kind of laid down the law. And then I actually called in and asked for other family who were fully crossed to, for any help they could give us. And it turned out my grandfather was a neurosurgeon who passed in the 1960s. We started seeing him around, and he's still around. He kind of keeps an eye on things. And but bottom line is we've had help. And not only that, but, taking charge of our own space, And I mean, is that something you're kind of pushing on these entities that are coming through, or?
What is it you're asking me? Am I pushing what on them?
Are you kind of pushing some rules on them and saying, "Hey, this is the way it's going to be. If you're going to be in my home, this is the way you're going to conduct yourself." And
No, I really didn't do that with her. There wasn't. We moved. We moved into another place. Soon after that, it was military housing, and they were knocking them down to build new places. It's what's been happening all over the country. The bases that are not getting shut down, they're redoing everything everywhere because most stuff is like 1930s, 1940s circa at this point. So they feel like it's time to knock places down and start over. Be more modern, give people garages and bigger places, and that. People need more space now because I guess they're into having more stuff than back then. So, yeah, they've been knocking places down and rebuilding, and so they moved us out and moved us into somewhere else so they could, keep on with their process and rebuild. But so we didn't do anything in that case, and since we've been in this unit, there are spirits that are in and out of here all the time, but there's nothing that seems to be more attached to the place.
Well, so Chris has basically become a thing of the past then.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, if there was more to the story, I'd give it to you, but we moved, and I just didn't even. It was honestly something, when you've got so many things in your life, you're running around trying to help others, and you have so many things in your life that are going on and so on. Yeah, you kind of just go, well, I'll deal with this later, and it gets put off, and then you move, and you go, well, okay. I've had that happen a few times. We lived in a place when we were in Pensacola, Florida, and it was not a point where I was accepting of my abilities, but it was a scary situation because we had a child spirit. Again, a child. I don't know what it is with all these children spirits, but it was, again, a child spirit, and she... My daughter sensed her. I sensed her. She was taking the washer knob off of my washing machine, and I would find it in different places. Some of these places, I just tried to say, oh, it must have come off when it was used. Oh, it must have just fallen off. Oh, but then it started going up on shelves that I couldn't reach without a ladder.
Oh,
yeah,
my God.
Once that starts happening, I'm going, okay, and I'm questioning, and at this point, it's my husband at the time and then my daughter and me, and my daughter's a baby. So it's certainly not her doing it. She's like 18 months old and, questioning the husband. And he's like, you're insane. Why would I take the knob and put it up there? And I'm like, you're the only one who can reach there. You tell me. And he's like, I've been sleeping. When did it? And I said, well, it was an hour ago. it was on the washer, and now it was up there. And he's like, I've been in bed the whole time. Are you nuts? So, you know, I kept seeing signs of things like this. There's, okay, this one's a little embarrassing. I'm sorry. I'm just going to say it. I bought a box of 40 tampons. I bought a box of 40 tampons. It hadn't been open. It had the plastic wrap all on it. It was completely not open. Time came where I needed it. This is embarrassing a little bit. Time came where I needed it. Opened up the cabinet to take it out. It was completely unwrapped. One left in there. That's it. 40 counts.
What?
They're all gone. Where are they? When we go to move out of the place, a purse way behind all my clothes in an overstuffed closet that I can't even get to without having to remove quite a few items first, all of them are in there.
Oh, my God.
Of course, again, the husband's like, I would never do something so crazy. The daughter's like, there's no way she could have done it. So, but we had a day where we were in my daughter's room getting her up for the morning. She's standing up in her crib. I walked in there. All of a sudden, she starts pointing past me. She's 18 months old. She's pointing past me. And I don't see anything, but I feel this rush of air go past me, and I hear a child screaming, don't let him hurt me. And at that moment, I just had this strong feeling like this child, somebody abused her, and she ended up dead in this house. Well, this is where the story gets really freaky. This military neighborhood, they would have a police officer patrol. We were literally right next to the subsidized housing, or what some people would call in that area, it was quote-unquote the ghetto. Well, we were out taking a walk with the baby one day, and police officer saw us and stopped and, hey, and decided to talk with us for a little bit. You know, he's kind of bored and lonely out there, so he sees a couple and, hey, let's talk. So we're talking for a little bit, and we start talking about the places and how apparently at one point the places we're living in had been, you know, government-subsidized housing, then it was back to military and back to government, back to military, and they had bought it back and forth from each other several times. And as he told this, he started saying he'd seen so many crimes happen in here, and then he said, sad thing is, I think the worst crime I ever saw happen was not when it was subsidized housing, but rather military housing. And he said there was a child who was killed by her father in one of these units. As soon as he said that, I knew. And I said, you know, and so my husband and I are questioning him, which unit? And he's like, I can't tell you that. And, you know, he was like, why are you so curious? Why? And we're like, well, we really would like to know. And he's like, well, why? Explain. So we told him all the activity that had been going on in our house. He said, well, I'll tell you what. He said, I can't tell you. But if you happen to say the unit and it happens to be the one, and he didn't say any other words, he just was nodding his head. And we were like, oh, okay. So we gave him our unit number, and he nodded his head yes. His eyes got kind of big, and he nodded his head yes.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, so we were like, whoa, okay. But, yeah, so I've lived in a few. I lived in a few places that have had things. Now, even as a matter of fact, my mother's house that she's living in to this day, she's in Jonesboro, Georgia, and basically she's living on Civil War ground. So, her place has been a bundle of activity forever. And we moved there in my teenage years. I grew up an Army brat. And, yeah, that place has been constant activity all the time.
So now, so is it like on a Civil War battlefield or, hospital or something like that?
You know, I don't fully know. I know that there was a lot of fighting that went on in that area. There was a general, his last name was Mundy, General Mundy. I can't remember anything before that other than the last name. But everything in that general vicinity is named after either the Mundys or the Whaleys. And apparently the Whaleys were the married part of the Mundy family, you know, his wife and her family. So they've named everything in that little area after him. But apparently he was the big general fighting right in that stretch of area. And in the neighborhood my mother lives, they knocked down trees, this, that, built up all these houses, and there was a graveyard in there. And they left that, of course, there, and built all these houses around it. And this graveyard is this Civil War family's graveyard, the General Mundy, and there's several other military members that had fought in that Civil War, and they still, to this day, are burying people in there when a member of this Mundy family passes. So once in a very little amount of a very long time, something would happen, and, you know, you would see this. You would see somebody out there, and there'd be, you know, funeral procession, that type of thing. But it's very rare. It's not something common. I think, you know, in all the years, I think I saw it twice that that happened. But, yeah, so people who live next to that place, they've moved in and out quite a bit. Apparently there's been, they've had major issues. We've had, you know, at my mother's house, there's been a lot of stuff. But, yeah, apparently the people living right next to the graveyard, they don't live there very long. People move in and out of that house. The value of that house was cut in half within, like, the first year. And people kept moving in and out, and I got to hear all sorts of stories from kids who would live in that house.
You know, I've often thought it would be a great idea to start a real estate company just for people who want to live in haunted houses, you know. I mean, because, yeah, I mean, those properties are all over. You know, it would just kind of, you know, in this day and age when people want to pay to be in a house that's haunted, hey, you know, it's a good business to be in. I mean, we as investigators get to see all the good stuff, you know. I've been in so many homes that, you know, even new homes. It's surprising the amount of new homes. You know, one of the members of my team, Spencer Hughes, brand new home, and you know, a whole family moved in, which Annette Martin, medium, came in here a few weeks ago, and we just had her and Lloyd Auerbach in there, and it was just amazing. You know, the entire family, they didn't cross. They just stayed together, and the damnedest things are happening. And one of Spencer's sons has a mild sensory issue. It's like the circuitry isn't quite right with the eyes. And he sees these things around, and it's just amazing what you know, some of the similarities that, you know, in the story and with some of the stuff you're talking about with the children and all. But also the fact is, you know, you and I are I'm an Army brat myself. How many parallels have we got going on here? But,
a lot, it sounds like, yeah.
Yeah. My dad worked at White Sands Missile Base, and I was out, you know, born in El Paso, and we came back to California, and then I grew up around the whole family that were all, my mother's side are all the touchy-feely psychic people, and then my dad's were all the doctors and rocket people and all that, so. But my dad, you know, dad has always been, you know, this is a bunch of BS to this day. Even though, you know, I'll be standing there and I'll see a spirit standing next to him. He'll like, you know, and I'll tell him, and he just says, it's all BS. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then they're looking confused. I'm getting a lot of questions, I've got people in the switchboard here that are wanting to ask about, you know, possibly you doing on-air reading, but I'm not going to pressure you into it because I know as a medium myself, some nights I just don't feel like reading. So, it's your choice. Are you having one of those nights where
you could tell, huh?
I could definitely tell.
Yeah, I'm having some major issues while the show's going on and major emotional issues. So I'll be honest, folks, I don't think it's going to be a good night for me to read. I'd be more than happy to come back on at another time and do readings because this isn't a typical night, the things that are happening. So.
Well, I could tell just from the moment you came on, actually. So, you know, no problem there. And you would be open, though, to answering a few questions. You know, just, you know, any generalized questions, right? I mean, somebody
about,
just came on.
About what I do and stuff, yeah. I mean, you can obviously tell I'm having some major stuff going on here and I'm very distracted, but I can do that, yeah. I might make them repeat themselves. I'm sorry I've had to make you do that, but.
No problem. So, we'll go with that. I'll tell you what, why don't we take a short break, everybody, and for the folks that were on waiting, the 207 caller, if you decide you have a question, and you want to go ahead and ask a question of our guest, and go ahead and figure out what you want. I'll take about a minute for everybody to kind of go water the lilies, and we'll be back. This is Ghost Rider Paranormal Radio. We'll be back in about a minute or two here, and we'll see you on the other side. Here we go.
Listening to Ghost Rider Paranormal Radio, coming to you from the Haunted Studios here in Shingle Springs, California, live on blogtalkradio.com.
On location with the men of the Imperial Forces. All suspects are guilty, period. Otherwise, they wouldn't be suspect, would they?
Okay, we're back. A short break, but a break nonetheless. And kind of in an honor of the Army brat status of both of us, I decided to play the Imperial Troops thing there. So it's been a weird night. The Mercury retrogrades are the most weird thing, especially for show hosts and mediums. And when you're both, oh, God, it was weird tonight. And my foot is finally starting to feel better. I'm sure I'm going to be leaking more fluid out of the right foot. Man, I looked down and I had a piece of wire about 4 inches long sticking out of my foot, and I was going, oh, this is going to be fun to pull out. So anyway, we're back, and looks like Valerie, we still have the 207 caller may have a question for you. So I'm going to bring that caller on, and let's see, here we go. As soon as I get the magic mic, they are so slow. Blog Talk has been having a day. I know Kathy's show had some stuff going on, so I'm going to try this again. Come on. It is taking forever. I'm going to reload the page, and while we're doing that, let me just do a shout-out. Satori's going, poor John. All right, while that's happening, I'm going to reload the page, and I'm just going to do a general shout-out here. We've got Anthea from After Dark Radio, a great show host, is out there with us. We have Brian, CA Living is here. Brian's been away for a while, so everybody give a big shout-out to Brian. We've got Dominica Amore. Hey, Dom, good to see you, my dear. Big hugs to you out in Prescott. Elizabeth Rose from Z-Talk Radio is with us, and I am going to – there we go. Well, it is loading slow tonight on that page, so I'm going to get it back here. Let's see. So Elizabeth Rose, F.L. Christie, new name out there. Good to see you. Gabriel, good to see you. We have Gerber Daisy TM. Hello, a regular crew member aboard this ship. Guest 5793 and 6382, good to see you. You are from France. We have Karen's Dream, member of GRI Phoenix. And we have Mark Baroni, good to see you. We have Mother Jerry, Ms. Ghosts, Old Crow, Paranormal Guys, Jason, good to see you, my friend. RT Lampwork, Satori 11, Sam Poor John, love you too. And Scott Wise from GHI, that rhymes. And here we do go. We've got the page back, and it's still loading, but I'm gonna try to hit the 207 caller and see if it finally picks up. And this is the most frustrating night with the board. I'm so sorry, guys. Anyway, let's come on, you darn thing. I'm going to go ahead and try a trick I know and then see if that does it. Because it is just not happening. I don't think we're meant to have anybody talk to us tonight. So I'll tell you what, I'm going to reload the page.
Blog talk.
Oh, dear God, it's been hell on earth today. So I'll tell you what, I'm going to go ahead and let it reload. And when it finally quits and it does come back fully, oh, there, finally. Just when I give up. And there it worked. Okay, 207, you are on the air.
Hi, how are you? Can you hear me?
You bet we can hear you.
Well, I'm an Army brat.
Uh-oh, another
hey.
One.
God,
brat.
Collect the whole set.
My father was a lifer. I'm a psychic and I see ghosts, but I can't read for myself. But I do have a question. I'm experiencing, whenever I'm in my car, I'll think or say out loud a question, and my windshield wiper will come on all by itself. I just don't understand when it goes once if that is yes or no. I haven't figured that one out yet. But have you had, I mean, I don't have the deep, powerful connection that you have. I can't control it. I see ghosts when I see ghosts.
Right.
I'll see, when I'm gambling, I'll see, you know, 3 foot high by 2 foot wide cards, you know, the winning cards in a hand in a cloud or something like that, but I don't see... You know, and I can look at a line of slot machines, and the one that's going to win will always stick out. But I just can't control it as much. I could do readings for others to a degree, but I'm just not in real control of everything. But I used to see bubbles and things when I was a kid. And used to be told I was daydreaming all the time.
So you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I used to shout out these things in the middle of classroom, and you name it, and everyone thought I was nuts or, you know, hyperactive, attention disorder, whatever. But I'm over 50 now, so nobody knew about that stuff then. Anyway, so what have you had something like that where, like, the windshield wipers would go, because I can't figure out whether it's telling me talk yes or no.
Okay, well, see, that's what I was about to say. I was going to say taking it back, steering you back to the windshield wipers. It's that sounds like your windshield wipers is a pendulum. I'm wondering if it's more your own psychic energy that you're putting out there when you go to ask these questions, just simply setting it off. Now, then again, a lot of people argue that with pendulum energy as well, because, like I said, it sounds as if your windshield wiper is trying to act as a pendulum. This is bizarre. No, I've never heard this one before. You came up with a new one. But what I would say, couple recommendations for you. If you really think that that's pretty much what's happening and your windshield wiper is acting as a pendulum, ask it, what is yes for me? What is no for me? Give it time
exactly.
to do it and see if it actually does it. Now, if that doesn't happen, then I would say that something with your energy when you're trying to psychically put something out there may very well be simply setting the windshield wiper off if you're not getting anything specific. If you've already tried that, then I would say that, yeah, you're probably, your energy may very well be setting it off. We set off electronics all the time. My phone doesn't work, and half the time, I don't know if it's Comcast or me. If I get excited, suddenly my phone disconnects. If my emotional energy, hello, even tonight, you know, is not at the right place, if I'm pretty upset, like I actually am tonight, which is why I'm not doing readings, If anything like that is going on, then, you know, we do sometimes tend to set off electronics or make our phone just decide to quit on us. Or I have a friend who she gets upset and things explode. So
what I have done in the past is one time I was extremely angry when I was working in a lounge, went into the women's room. There was an ashtray on the counter. I walked right into the women's room. When I stared at that ashtray literally went flying off the counter. I mean, nobody believes that, but it's true. There was not a soul in that bathroom. I was like 3 feet from that ashtray, but I was angry when I walked in there. I looked at that ashtray, and that ashtray did go flying across the room.
It sounds to me like you have psychokinetic abilities, you know, PK. You could actually be tested for that with the right group of people who are very accepting of this kind of thing, and see if it, you know, if you have a good abilities in that area.
I don't mean to do any of that stuff, but I looked at a turkey inside of a container on top of the refrigerator and thought, and got angry because I forgot I had it up there, and that whole thing went tipping over, and I'm going, you know, that was weird. I just can't.
Wow.
So I get angry. I don't get angry. Well, get angry.
It sounds like you have a really good handle on, or a connection with your deep subconscious, and it's not under your direct control. So it's when, you know, it's tied to your emotional state. So when that does happen, I mean, you could learn to actually probably work with this and actually control it a little better with somebody who could help you with that. I've heard of these things before. It's entirely, you know, possible. And, you know, and what Valerie was talking about with the windshield wipers, asking yes or no, you know, basically you're going to be talking to yourself in a way, and
right,
having the and having it, your subconscious basically give the answers. And then that ties back into your higher self, and then possibly to other spirits that you're working with too, because it sounds like you've got, you know, mediumistic, tendencies too, or psychic abilities, you know, tied in. So you really, I would really recommend you get around somebody who does research in these things and can help you with that.
I mean, they're actually, because I thought, wow, maybe I'm going crazy or something, because you don't really hear
them
doing anything.
Yeah, I don't think I'm going crazy at all.
No, not at all. Yeah, this is, you know, all three of us on this phone line have been through areas that tested our very sanity with some of the stuff that happened, and you just have to finally accept the fact that this is who you are. And this is, I mean, I work in, you know, propulsion science, you know, and computer science work. I mean, I'm supposed to be this big rational scientist, and, you know, I don't run around doing this touchy-feely stuff. So, you know, guess what? This is the way you are. This is the way you're built, you know. So, to me, if it was me and I was starting just to look at this and go, what's happening here? I'd be seeking somebody out that knew, and going around everybody I could ask questions around, and finally find the right connection to get this checked out. But you strongly have a lot of PK ability from the sounds of it. That's the thing I'm hearing, and basically my guides are telling me that you have this, and that you are very gifted. It's just, and a lot of it seems to come from some oddly enough frustrations that happened to you at an early age. You had a lot of frustrating experiences in your teenage years. Something in there is pent up, and it kept that connection rolling.
I've had a lot of frustrating experiences all my life.
Yeah, it's like an outlet for you, and that's a normal. They say that normally goes away after teenage years with teenage girls, but for in your case, it sounds like it's continued on, because there's been a sustained thing there, and it's become an easy thing for you. So it just strikes me that's kind of where some of this comes from. But I don't think you're the only one in the family that's done this. That you have, you know, this goes back a ways. You know, there's like a line of people with different abilities that go back.
I was going to say, it kind of missed the last generation, except my mother can talk to ghosts.
There you go.
She talks to ghosts, and that's that part of it. But my father always believed everything I said. I mean, he'd make me bring out the tarot cards to sit and read for him and so forth. And because I used to blow my parents' mind. They believed me, you know, when I started reading the tarot cards. But I think it went back further past my parents' generation, really, really strong. But my mother did sit and talk to her dead brother for you know, several hours. And then 2 weeks later, she got a letter, you know, stating that when she had talked to him was the day he had died, and it was in another country.
Yeah, that happens a lot. And you've got a family, so you've got the family line, you've got these abilities, and you have this connection that's been kept alive with the PK. I would really strongly urge you to, find somebody who's got some professional credentials. And I'm not talking about a psychologist, because they're going to try to drug you. You need to find someone with a spiritual bent who has some professional, understanding of, parapsychology, and that can really look at this, objectively, and then, help kind of guide you. And get around other people, too, like us. find the local psychics around and mediums, and get into a good community who can help you with this stuff, because I don't know what you want to do with it. You have to decide that, but it really is something that you can transmute that energy into some other purpose, and maybe with a little bit of help and the right kind of people around you, you can make it into something new. Because turkeys flying at you through the air, that's just not a good thing, and it just doesn't.
Didn't go flying through. I mean, it was sitting on the refrigerator, but it tipped over. I mean, the pen went up and over. It was really weird. The pen, I looked at the TV and the pen did go flying off. The ashtray, I couldn't believe that actually went flying right across the counter and off onto the floor. But it's really weird, when you're standing there and you look at something and it goes flying. It's like, okay.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what, I really strongly urge that, and I do thank you for calling in. What I'd ask you to do is do this thing I'm asking, and really search your heart and see what you want to do with it. But come back to us in a month and call in, and I'd love to hear what happens and find out where you're going with this.
Okay, and what is it called?
PK is psychokinetic energy. You basically have developed a circuit in the brain that is able to manipulate things at a distance. And people who go through this, these experiences, often have a feeling of relief after they feel better after there's been a manifestation of one of these things, with something being thrown or tipped or thrown or knocked over or whatever. They feel suddenly like a release, or blowing up. And believe me, it's a perfectly normal part of the human experience, believe it or not. I have a habit of blowing up watches, I've got this little Timex, $16 Timex right now that I'm wearing. That's been the longest lasting. It's gone 90 days, and so I'm rooting for it, man. If I can get to 180, that sucker's got a life, it's normal. All the stuff that you're saying is normal, except the flying things, but that can be worked with. And, I think you can make that into something new and good for you, and help. And those people will help you with whatever it is that you're releasing, channel that a new direction, and that'll work out for you, darling.
And again, I wanted to point something out with the whole kinetic energy thing with you, when you are asking these questions and you got your feeling and your intention in it, because you're asking questions a lot of times for yourself, and that's when this is happening, correct?
Yeah.
See, there's a lot more emotion behind your own stuff. So that's why, all these things are moving, these things are happening. It's because, you have so much emotion behind it. And it's literally the spiritual energy that comes out of you and does that. And not really having full control of what you're doing. People who get into the healing arts and so on, they learn to control their energy and use it towards something. And a lot of people who do get into using it for healing and things like that, or learning to, there are different arts where you can learn to manipulate the energy and use it to move things, where you put the energy out to the universe and that type of thing. There are a lot of different things that you can do that will help you to get a little bit more control over your energetic flow. Meditation is a good one, too, of course. So it's not. Yeah.
Hypnotizing thing to do past life regressions. I've been trying to do those types of things.
Right. I would also, you know, definitely get yourself into regular meditation, because I think when you get your entire spirit, I don't want to say necessarily under control, but put in check, you know, balanced, your energy centers balanced, everything balanced, I think you'll find that kind of stuff starts happening a little bit less. You focus that energy in other places, and it doesn't kind of come out at you, you know, out of control as much. I have a friend who, she has been known to blow things up when she gets angry. She scares everybody. I've watched her do it. If she says she wants something to blow up, it'll blow up. She told me that she wanted her blender to blow up because she hated it and she wanted a new one. And then she sent me in to make some strawberry daiquiris. Well, guess what happened the minute I turned it on? It blew up. I was like, thank you. She gets mad. All the lights in the house have been known to blow up when she's been angry. This friend of mine, but when she got it under control more and she started meditating more and she started using it for healing, you know what was amazing was she quit doing that stuff. She quit breaking computers. She would have to get a new computer at least once a year because she would blow it up. I mean,
yeah, my computer is almost shot. It keeps crashing all the time.
Yeah, see, and that may very well be your energy. So, yeah, but definitely look into doing some stuff that will help you harness it better.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it will really, I just predict in a month when you come back and talk with us, I think you're going to come back and it's going to be on a whole new path for you. So, yeah, you know, we're basically, you know, Valerie and I are saying this, basically the same things. It's just, you know, in my case, my marriage went south 10 years ago and just, you know, we went through a real stressful year before, you know, everything, you know, worked out and we split up. We were having pans fly out of the kitchen, the cabinets on their own, lights were turning themselves on and off. I woke up at 3 a.m. and the can opener was dancing across the top of the counter by itself, and that was a new and interesting thing to see. You know, these things happen, especially when human beings are under stress or they have an extreme emotion going on, and you have abilities. So it's just like a live wire going off, and it's just doing stuff, and you don't have a lot of say-so in what's happening.
Yeah, and it's been real stressful around, you know, I'm single in the house. I've had such relationship problems. It's like, right, so this last week, because of all the planets, the way they're located, and I'm a Libra, and everything, it's just like, I feel like it's just sparks flying out of me everywhere.
Yeah, I if it were me, one other thing just to recommend, find some strenuous exercise that you can do that would make you feel good, and there's another great way to do it too, which my mother uses quite often when she gets frustrated with, you know, because my dad's situation. She gets a stick and goes and beats the hell out of a tree. And believe me, that really gets the energy right out of you. She feels really good. She cusses and gets it all out. And occasionally I hear a screaming session outside and I don't even think twice about it anymore. I just go out and look. Oh, she's working it out. Okay, cool.
Yeah, I've been thinking about a punching bag. That would be pretty cool, learn how to box.
There you go. See, you know, it's just getting that, you know, you need an outlet for that energy, and it's going to express itself one way or another. So if you have the control over it, but still you will find the right path. The right people will come to you, but you've got to make that effort, you know, to kind of reach out, and then the help will come. But a good short-term solution, pick a dead tree and pick a branch and, you know, go whip on it. That'll work.
Right now, I've got several professional psychics and a lot of Arthurs right now. So I'll get to work and see and work on that and get back with you in about a month.
Yeah, I'd like to hear how it goes. I will remember you for sure because we all have similar stories. And just say it's the Army Brett calling, and I'll know exactly. Okay, my friend.
Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you. And we do have one more. We got about 6 minutes, so I think this is going to be real quick. 602, you're on the air.
Oh, hi. Hello.
Hi, is this Elizabeth?
This is Elizabeth. I don't really have a question, but, you know, one thing I got to say, Valerie, is that I can certainly relate with what you're going through with the family, honey. So.
With the kids, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I sympathize with you because, you know, believe me, I do, and about, you know, people thinking that, you know, and you're asking questions and they're like looking at you like going, oh my gosh, why is she asking me this? Yeah, so.
What do you mean? I'm not quite.
Just like when you were talking about, you know, when you were asking about, was it you that was saying that, was asking about, you know, at the, what number the apartment was?
Oh yeah, when we were trying to get the police officer to share this worst case he ever dealt with that broke his heart.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Believe me. Yeah, it was so funny because it was like I felt like my throat was like being closed up, kind of when you were talking about that. So.
Really.
Uh huh. Just wanted you to know that.
Yeah, it's interesting, you know, the things that happen to us, you know, when we're mediumistic and we're sensing things everywhere we go anyway. And then if you're empathic too, it's not just the spirits, it's the people around you.
No.
It never ends. You know,
yeah.
You have to really learn to block a lot of it out to keep your own sense of balance a lot of the time too.
Well, you do, and I think that's important that we need to understand because I happen to be a psychic medium also, as you and John. And
yes,
believe me, you have to learn to protect yourself and put those things in and that protection in when you do. But I mean, I've been through similar experiences like you were talking about, and it was funny because I knew as soon as you called in, I thought, oh, this woman's not going to do reading. She cannot tonight.
Oh, you could tell.
So,
well, there's a couple things going on. There's some serious emotional stuff, and the person messaging me in the room, it was that stuff, and then
that's
actually been continuing to go on. Emotional stuff, and then on top of that, I'm actually feeling very sick tonight. So I had even earlier this afternoon been debating, do I want to just cancel? And then I was like, well, you know, if I can get a message to them, you know, that I might not be able to do readings because I'm getting sick. But, you know,
well, honey,
then I was like, well, I might be okay. I don't know.
You're fine, and you've been doing fine. And I wouldn't worry about it. So, you know, you really, you know, if nothing else, I want you to feel my energy kind of giving you a little bit of a lift and know you're doing fine. Okay?
Okay. Well, I'm glad it's not too bad.
It's definitely not
the way I like things to be. So.
I know. And believe me, you'll come back and do another show and you're going to be fantastic. Bring on bet.
Oh, that's good to hear. Thanks.
Yeah, you're going to.
You've done a great job tonight. I mean, because we go with whatever's happening at the moment. And for an interview, I mean, you've done great. And I'd love to have you back on. There's absolutely an open forum here. And you've just done marvelous. So you did good.
Yeah.
And I'm just glad you came on.
Well, thank you. You know, I do my own show on Blog Talk, Spiritual Awakenings. They were all in the room, you know. You know, saying, oh, wait, Valerie's Spiritual Awakenings earlier. I did notice that. But, yeah, I do my own show. So, yeah, this is definitely not me as usual. You guys can go listen and figure that out. But but I'm glad to hear it's not too bad because it doesn't feel quite right, that's for sure.
Well, everybody has their moments when they're just not up for reading. And, you know, I've had nights where I just look at it and go, to heck with this. I ain't going to do this. You know, and some people, you know, they'll, you know, the audience, you know, there's the old saying, the show must go on. Well, yeah, but sometimes it's just, you know, I'll go on, but I'm not going to do what I intended to do, you know. So you did fine, heck. And we'd love to have you back. Absolutely. So if you would do us the honor, the venue will be yours.
Oh, yeah, just let me know when. We can do that.
Okay, well, with that, I will thank you then for coming on here, and I'm trying to see if I can extend and try to give a half hour. I'm having a little, the boards tonight are just giving me nothing that fits here, but I was going to try to do a little reading work for an extra half hour, and just if you wanted to go ahead and go to bed, because I know it's, 11:30 out there, or 12:30 actually, your time. Yeah, so I am willing to, and if, you know, to extend it out to 1:20 here, and I'm just getting the board to come up and do this, and see if folks want to go that way, and we can do maybe a little bit of reading. I can go, I can take the reins and give it a shot. I'm willing to do that. And let's see. Oh, Kathy's saying, call me after the show. And I see this lady named Spiritual Awakenings is saying thanks. So, I wonder who that could be.
Yeah, that's me. That's me.
Yep, I was just teasing you. And I'm about to lose the feed. And so I think we're going to lose the show. Goodbye, everybody. I did not get it in time, so we're not going to be able to extend. But anyway, with that, this is Ghost Rider Paranormal Radio signing off. I just did the best I could, and we could not make it. So anyway, I have lost all my boards now. They're all screwed up. It has been a wonderful night with equipment. You had your day in hell. I've walked on wires. I was digging. Now we're off stream, so I don't think we're going to. I'm just waiting to see if it did go through, but we're off stream.
You're probably archiving, but you've lost everyone else. Yeah.
Yeah, we've lost everybody. But hey, you know, I'm just sorry you had a tough day. I know how it is with emotions, and then when you're upset and you're trying to go on and do something like read, it's just almost impossible. There's no way.
Yeah. Well, my other phone is not got a whole lot of life in it, my cell phone. So I was like, oh, great. Of course the phone's going to start doing this. But I didn't lose internet, so my fingers were crossed because the phone's the first thing to go, then the internet. And, you know, when the phone came back, I was like, oh, good, I can call again, you know. But, yeah, that was my biggest worry. So I'm glad it seems like we made it through and I didn't lose it again.
Yeah, it's just I'm going through, you know, some weird stuff with my internet connection, and so I know everybody I know is having these strange things, and I guess it's the medium.
You have Comcast by chance?
Yeah, exactly.
Oh,
how'd
there
you
go. Because that's what I have, and it's been nothing but issues lately. So.
Yeah, it's now I'm starting to get like a response from this thing. Come on, good. Both boards are just shot. I mean, what am I? Anyway, but your show on Blog Talk, what days is that on? Because I'll definitely pop in and listen on that.
Well, right now the show is Monday nights. I do it from 10 p.m. to 12 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. And it's just Monday nights. Now, I've actually been wanting to increase. I actually had a whole new catch for daytime and was going to do a mystical mom hour, you know, a few days a week on Blog Talk and, you know, more geared toward moms that are home during the day and women and stuff and try to do something like that during the day. But now I'm looking at possibly going in with another network for that one. So it may still just be Monday nights for Spiritual Awakenings. We'll see. Not sure yet.
I think that's a great idea for you. Yeah.
Just real quickly, guys, I wanted to interrupt because I'm watching the room and it says it. You know what? It did go through. It's waiting for the host to call in.
I'll be darned. So what I will do is...
I'm just letting you know.
Oh, so they're still hearing me, and I'll be darned. That did work out. Okay.
Yes,
so
they're waiting for the host to call in, so that's all they're doing, you know. So.
Okay, let me go ahead. So it was like, I darn that thing.
I just wanted to let you know what's going on with it.
Okay, let me try to, I'm not going to hang up. But I'm still dialed in on the. I'm kind of screwed here because I can't get into my. I can't get into my own
show.
You may have a second show set up at this point.
I think you're exactly right. I think what we'll do is we'll go ahead and hang it up.
In here. Nobody's responding to me asking if they still hear us. So I don't know.
Why don't we, can you type
not,
in there?
They're not hearing this. Do you want John and I'll do it, honey? What?
Yeah, because I can't get into my chat. So can you tie into them and tell them that I'm going to bring it back and we'll hang up here and then I'll dial
uh-huh.
back in and we'll just continue forward.
All right. That's what I just told
okay.
him. He's on his way back. Hang on. There you go.
Okay. Well, Valerie, I'll let you go at this point and just thank you for being on. And it's just been a great interview we definitely want you back.
All right. Well, thank you for having me. And, yeah, like I said, just let me know.
Okay. And prayers to you, and it'll get better, hon. You just take care of yourself.
Oh, I hope so. Thanks a bunch.
Okay. Bye-bye. Good night. Good night, hon.
Bye, Dee.
Okay. And so I'm going to go ahead and hang it up here and then tell everybody I'm coming back in, and I'll see you.
I already did. And all right, sweetie. I already got them all told that you'll be right back.
Okay. Here we go.
Okay.